Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode Number 9. Our air date is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I'm your host, C. Willie. I am joined again this week by the lovely and talented
Carter Peep.
She hasn't left me yet, so we're happy about this. And what we're really happy about this week is we have a very inspiring, wonderful guest who came to us very last minute, and an opportunity was presented, and we were blessed to have her. Allie McManus is joining us on the show tonight. Welcome, Allie.
Hi.
So, for those who may not know, Allie, you've got a fascinating backstory that brought you to where you are today. Can you tell us a little bit about the challenges that you've overcome to get where we are?
Yeah, for sure. So it's quite a long story, but I'll tell you, like, the bigger things that happened. So when I was born three months premature, and I was, even at that time, it was 50-50 chance of me surviving. I was fine, really, just like any other kid until, like, around 7 years old. And I started getting pain throughout my body and started breaking bones for no reason. And the doctors just, you know, did all the tests and went all over the place, and nothing showed up to be wrong. It actually took my doctors, like, till I was 21 years old to diagnose me with anything.
Wow.
I thought I wasn't going to get diagnosed for, like, my whole life. I'm honestly surprised that it actually happened. And it was crazy because it was actually my last time meeting with those bone doctors because I was aging out of the program. Mm-hmm. And at my last appointment, they diagnosed me. So it was kind of interesting.
Wow.
So what I have is a very rare, like very rare form of something called OI, osteogenesis imperfecta, which in easier terms means your bones are brittle. And can break easily. So I've had many broken bones and I've had 11 surgeries, four near-death experiences. Those are all very interesting things. My biggest, like, life-altering situation that happened to me was, throughout the years I was developing severe scoliosis, which is a curvature of the spine.
Yeah.
And, you know, your spine is supposed to be like 0 degrees. But my bones were, you know, too weak. And the doctor was like, okay, we'll just watch you until it gets too bad, until we have to do something. Mm-hmm. So I was just going, when I was 13 years old, we would fly to St. Louis to Shriners Hospital, to go see my doctors. And they, you know, usually they're like, oh, see you next time. You know, can't do anything for you. And this time was different. When I was 13, there was like 10 doctors in the room, and which is not normal. And
that had to be intimidating.
Yeah. And they're like, Allie, I don't mean to scare you, but we need to do this surgery to save your life. And like being told that at 13, I'm like, what? Are you serious? And I don't even think I even understood the severity of it even then. And it just, so what, why it was so life-threatening was my spine was so curved at 145 degrees
that
it was crushing my lungs and my stomach. So I actually lost like 20 pounds in a month. Because I couldn't hold any food, because I literally could only eat like a clementine.
Mm-hmm.
And my lung capacity was below 19%.
Oh, wow.
But I was still singing, so I don't know. I didn't really notice an issue. So
wow.
I guess you just adapt, you know, to any all your situations. And I mean, ever so then, what happened because of that, I had to move to the Shriners Hospital in St. Louis. For 9 months, and I was in halo traction, which is basically a screws in your skull and like a
Yeah.
metal bar till your ears, and then you're being kind of like hangman, pulled up
Oh, man.
by weights by your head. I am actually one of the longest kids to ever be in one of those for
Wow.
that period of time. I grew 7 inches from that in
Okay.
those 9 months, so that was cool.
Yeah.
And then
Well, you're basically being stretched out at that point, aren't you?
yes. And when they take you out of the weights, you actually want to be in them because you smush back down and it's
Yeah,
very
you're not
painful.
compressing. Sure,
Right.
sure.
And you actually like to be in them after a while. And it's 24/7, like you're never out of them, even when you're
Yeah.
sleeping. So yeah, it's just I moved there for 9 months, and then you have to get then that's stage one. Stage two is a spinal fusion. And I'm fused. I like have one vertebrae or so at the top of my neck, and I'm other than that, I'm fused from my neck down to my hips.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can't
So
really turn my head
movement,
much.
there's you have very little
Yeah,
access to movement.
definitely. Yeah, with my neck and stuff like that. But that, I mean, even then, that's where I found a lot of my love for music. I was doing music before then, but I decided I wanted to do music when I was 7 years old.
Okay.
I did a solo in choir, and after I performed it on stage, people came up to me after like crying, and I'm like, "Did I do something bad? Like, what's going on?" And it was the opposite, and I saw like how you could really affect people through your music. And ever since then, I kind of stuck with it. And then I learned how to songwrite, and then after
When did you
that.
start playing the instrument?
So I started playing piano first. I was about, I mean, I played it a little bit like here and there because we had it a grand piano in my living room. So my brother actually started off with it, and then I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." So then I started it. And then it was probably like around same age, 7. And that's one thing I could do while everyone else was outside running around and stuff. So
Sure.
it was fun for me. So, but yeah, and then guitar, I started probably 10 years ago now. And Ed Sheeran's the one that like inspired me to do that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a good person to be following.
Yes. He's very good. His lyrics are amazing too. So.
Now, with the physical, I guess. Limitations isn't really the right word, but you've talked about the fusions and so forth. Does that affect your ability to play?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, what I forgot to mention was in that spinal fusion surgery, they accidentally broke my right hip.
Oh my goodness.
And, they actually didn't believe me for a while. And I'm like, "I'm telling you, it's broken."
I
Because they
can feel
wanted, I'm like,
this.
"I'm not, get me an MRI, I'll prove it to you." And I
Yeah.
was right. And ever since then, till like even a couple years ago, I've broken my hip so many times and it's rehealed wrong every time. You can imagine how messed up it is. Like, it's basically fused to its socket right now.
Oh
Like,
my.
and it there's no movement. So it makes me shorter than I would be. Because I can only stand, I can walk and stand a bit, but I need my like right leg needs to be bent up for me to stand up
Yeah.
straight.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it makes
Any.
it kind of difficult to, like, oh, with guitar, for example, more so than piano, I can't look down at the strings. So I
Okay.
had to learn by feeling, and also looking in a mirror.
Okay.
That's
So.
actually pretty cool because I have chills down my. Actually, down my neck and my spine, because really you are defining the odds. You are not allowing it to define you. No. You are defining it.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's for those that have listened to this point, I think there's probably people out there that are saying, how can you possibly go on?
Yeah.
Having faced all of that, and you're just the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when I was in the hospital for those 9 months, and maybe it was a couple days. I wasn't very happy about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I just told myself, I'm like, I got to make a choice. Either I'm going to, make the best of the situation and have as much fun as I can with it, or be miserable and make it worse for myself. So, it wasn't worth it.
Make the best of it.
And
yeah.
Things happen for a reason. There's
exactly.
A reason why you are here with us today to talk about
and
this.
And I believe that too, yes. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And you've reflected this now. You've reflected your experiences, your motivation through your music.
Yeah.
And the first song that we've got queued up this evening is Wings. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that one, whenever I hear that song, it reminds me of how I learned and became more independent. Where I actually went to a camp called Interlochen in Traverse City for a songwriting camp. And it was a 2-week camp, like stay overnight in the cabins and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, up until that point, I've never done that on my own without help and everything. So it was kind of like me proving to myself and to other people that I can do that. I can live on my own. And I can go to college and live in the dorms and stuff. So,
sure.
And that's what I did eventually. But, that's where I wrote that song, Wings. And there was a class one day and they're like, they gave you a prompt, a color. I think the color was white and majestic, something majestic. Mm-hmm. And you had to go back to the cabin that night, write the song, and then come back with the song the next morning. So, and that's what I wrote, this song.
Well,
I can't wait to hear it.
Let's give this a listen.
Sweet.
This is Ally McManus and Wings.
Awesome.
Flying so high.
absolutely beautiful song, Ailey.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful.
Love it.
And thanks.
Like everything else with you, very inspiring.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Written overnight in a cabin in Interlock.
Who knew?
Yeah, it wasn't in the cabin, it was about outside of it, but it was like in the kind of like in the forest.
All right. Yeah. That's even better.
I know. It's pretty cool actually.
So when we're reading about you and folks, other folks are talking about you, they say they hear Stevie Nicks and a little bit of Dolly Parton. I definitely hear that.
I do too. Yeah.
Who were your influences as you were getting into this music career?
Well, definitely Ed Sheeran. And he actually inspired me to start playing guitar. And I actually got the same model type guitar as him. And then actually when I was 17, I got to go see him at Madison Square Garden, like front row. It was so sweet.
That's
cool.
Pretty special.
It was really cool. He like literally made the entire Madison Square Garden silent. It's crazy. Yeah. Not many people can do that.
Yeah, that's the power of a good performer. That's the power of music.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And I also can't remember the person's name. But
I have that problem every day.
John Mayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another classy individual.
Yeah, like it's like all their and obviously Dolly Parton, Stevie Nicks. Also,
now we're talking about some names here. There's a little instance that went on here. You've got your version of a song we all know, Walk This Way.
Yes, I do.
Which you have classed up and made your own Roll This Way, which is just phenomenal.
It's and who stars in this video with you?
Yes, we watched YouTube a bit today, and we read a little bit about it first, but a certain lead singer from Aerosmith made an appearance with you in your video. Tell us all about that and your experience with Steven Tyler.
Yeah, so how that all started was we share the same producer. His name is Jack Douglas. So, and Jack and I, my manager and my mom, we're all at Shake Shack. We're eating lunch in LA. And he was telling me, all of us, about how Walk This Way came about and the idea, how it all came about and everything. And, I'm like, well, I can't walk this way, but I can roll this way. And then that's how it all happened from there. And Jack is actually also in the video, roller skating.
Is Jack the one that's handing out the skates?
Yes,
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
What a fantastic experience that must have been.
And it was really sweet. And Steven Tyler's so nice. Like, probably like one of the nicest people I've met that's at that caliber of fame.
Well, he sure looked like he was having fun.
It was a lot of fun, yes.
Giving you a push.
Yeah.
And then you're like riding in this really great hot rod, and I'm like, girl, I'm jealous.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too.
Oh, that's awesome. What a great story you've got with that. And I encourage everybody, go out, look it up on YouTube. It's wonderful.
It's fantastic.
I think it's pretty funny.
I love the way you owned that.
Yeah, and then I had to take dance lessons, which was pretty fun too.
Did you?
Pretty interesting. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what your songwriting process is. Now we heard a little about how Wings came about.
Yeah.
You've put a lot of your personal story into your music, which inspires the rest of us. How do you put that all together?
Well, I mainly start with the music first most of the time. And then I kind of start to feel like what the music is saying, I guess, in a weird way. And then if I'm lucky, it just happens and it's like done in like 20 minutes. If I'm not, then it might take a couple of days, but you know, there's a lot of songwriters say, like, there's times where you don't know where the lyrics are coming from. It just happens. And I've had many situations like that. So, yeah, I feel like some of the best songs are written really fast.
That's, you know, you're not the first person that we've heard say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems to be the case. Some of the best ones come in an inspiration in a moment that might be fleeting.
Right. Or you could be feeling vulnerable.
Right.
Or something different is going on in your life. And the only way you can get through that is to write it down.
Right. Exactly. And then, so the only song actually I really did it differently was Unbreakable. I know we're going to get to that later, but I'll tell you the story later, but I wrote the words first on that one.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Usually it's the music first. That one went the opposite direction. Well, the one that we've got queued up right now is Breaking Free. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's actually one of my first songs I ever wrote. And I might have been like 13, like 14. It was around the time when I was in that situation in St. Louis where I had all the life-saving surgery. It was after that happened, I wrote it. Mm-hmm. And my dad actually, like, we kind of co-did a little bit of it. He came to me with the idea of breaking free, of how, you know, anyone in their life may need to break free from something or someone in their, at sometimes, or whatever's going on in their life. And I had this chord progression that I loved, I just didn't know what to do with. And I took his idea and wrote Breaking Free. And I think Breaking Free does say a lot about the medical challenges I've overcome and gone through. And, you know, it's really just for anyone who's ever needed to break free from something or someone.
Well, let's give this a listen. This is Allie McManus, yes. Breaking Free.
Awesome.
Thank you.
and be all that I can be. 'Cause now I'm free.
Oh my goodness, I'm crying.
Yeah, that's...
That tends to happen with that one.
that's wonderful. Yeah, I have to say thank you after you hear something like that. That's absolutely beautiful, Allie.
Thanks. It'll always be one of my favorites that I've done.
Down here while we're doing these shows and while the music's playing, I tend to write a few notes. And I sat here and just looked. I just wrote real because that's what your music is.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's just interesting. You're singing about real life, and you're not throwing in the cliches that we hear in a lot of people's music. You're not trying to get the 15-year-old to follow you and do all this. No. You're singing about real things.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Thanks.
So we talked about where you've come from, we've talked about the influences, we've talked about the things that you've overcome. You also have the ability to inspire others in that you do some speaking. You go around and talk to people about breaking free, about being real. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've gone to schools, I've talked to CEOs, like companies and stuff like that. And it's really based on my songs. It's kind of like a keynote concert type of thing where I'm basically showing and trying to teach everyone that you can be unbreakable. And you are, maybe if you don't know it yet, but you can be. And, you know, everything is a choice. And if you choose the positive, it'll just always be better. And, like, you know, it doesn't matter that you're different, just adapt and you can still do what you want to do with your life.
How do people respond?
I've had people, even kids, like, you know, like high school people age, come up to me and say, you know, you've completely changed my outlook on life. But I'm like, holy crap. And then I'm like... what do I say to that? I'm like, wow.
That's a little power.
Yeah. You know. And then.
That's a lot of power for high school students, you know.
I know. Yeah. And just stuff along those lines. Like, someone, I get also said they're going to stop, like, self-harming themselves and, like, amazing things that. That's really all I want to do is, you know, impact people and hopefully make their outlook better.
You've had the ability to do it on a number of fronts, or basically from a number of different platforms, and that's unique as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's literally cool.
We were talking about the songwriting process. You told us that Unbreakable was the opposite of what you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about how that came about, and then let's hear about the song as well.
Yeah, so this one has a cool story. I was on a cruise with my family. And cruises are pretty good. They're like one of my favorite vacations. Because you get to see a lot of the world and then it's like not too much of a travel. Like, you know, it's good for someone in a wheelchair.
Right.
Anyways, but I was out on, like, in the Bahamas on the beach. And... you know, wheelchairs and sand don't really mix good. So basically, I'm stuck in the sand and I'm looking at the ocean. And my family left me there to go parasailing, which I would never do, even if I could do it. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
No. So, yeah, never. But I was sitting there, like, looking at the ocean and, you know, when you look different or you're in a wheelchair, people look at you differently. When they're passing you, they, like, stare at you and they, like, look at you, like, all, like, sympathetically and, like, give you, like, sympathetic smiles and stuff. You get used to it, but I was just, like, obviously it happens daily. But, you know, I just wanted to enjoy the atmosphere I was in. And I pulled out my phone and wrote the lyrics to Unbreakable while in that scenario when I was stuck in the sand, observing people and how they react to me and just seeing me. And throughout it, I was like, it doesn't really matter how they see me. I really don't care. I'm unbreakable. It doesn't matter. But, and that's how that all came about. And then I came home and I wrote the piano to it.
And this is your new single?
It's not new. I have new stuff coming out, but
Okay.
it's my title track of my EP, Unbreakable.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, let's give it a listen. This
Awesome.
is Unbreakable.
Yes. It's kind of my anthem.
Strong. I'm unbreakable. Unbreakable.
Yes, you are, Allie. That's wonderful. Unbreakable.
Yes.
And Allie said that's your anthem.
Yep. Yes, it is.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful song.
Thank you.
Inspiring story. Everything you've done is so uplifting, and people recognize that. They have to.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as I think I can speak for Quarter Peep, I think people that come in contact with you are better off because of it.
Thank you. I agree.
Yeah, because I feel like a piece of you is with us now, and we're never going to forget this interview ever. Absolutely. You are an absolutely amazing individual.
Thank you so much.
So what's on the horizon for you, Allie? What are your plans? Do you have projects upcoming? You mentioned some new music that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. Well, in particular, there's a song called Anywhere in My Mind. And I'm very excited for it to come out. There's not a release date yet, but it will be very soon and this year. It might be just as good as Unbreakable.
Oh.
In my opinion.
You've got something that we're interested
in. Yeah. And it's kind of about how, you know, you can do anything in your mind. And I had to kind of do that when I was younger, so I didn't feel left out a lot of the time. So, and a lot of people can relate to that, I feel like, too. So I'm excited for that to come out, and I have some other songs after that that I recorded in Nashville. So I'm very, very excited for that, and hopefully to see what comes from it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And how can fans find out about these release dates? How can they find you?
For sure.
And check out your shows, events?
Yeah. Well, I have a website. It's AllieMcManus.com, and also my socials are at Allie McManus Music. If you just follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, you'll see it. Or sign up for my mailing list on my website. I'll update you guys.
You did?
I did. So I confess, I'm like a merch girl, so I'm always checking out merch.
Did you get the pics?
I did. That was me.
I already packed it up. It's by the door, ready to go.
It's thrown away.
I was like, I told C. William, these are amazing. So those, you're going to have new fans after today. I mean, we're huge fans. But
thank you.
People need to check out the merch. And she's got
New merch, too, that I haven't even uploaded on there yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll see some of it in your – I added some extra stuff in your bag. So you'll see.
Okay.
Oh, the best.
And she has her pictures on these pics. And so I went on Amazon today, and there's these clear boxes that you can put collectible pics in them with this little stand. So I ordered those today. I'm like, these are special. And for those who are listening, you got to check it out. Order this. It's so cool. You got to have this in your collection.
Yes.
You really do. If you collect picks or you're into, like we are, we vibe merch and, just fun things. I'm like, I looked at these. I'm like, she's looking at us through these. How could you not buy these?
That's
but
awesome.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, thank you. I was all excited. It was sweet.
Well, hopefully it'll be a lot more after this tonight.
It was really cool.
All right. Listen, I think it's getting to be bedtime for C. Willie, so we got to wrap this up.
All righty.
We certainly appreciate it. Allie, this has been one of the most special interviews I've ever done. And I really appreciate everything that you did to come on board at the last minute and your message and what you stand for. And I will say stand for. It's absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you for being with us.
Of course.
Quarter Peep, who's with us next week?
Yeah, so we're really, really excited. We have Mark Blomsteel coming on our show next week. So make sure you check him out. He's another real good, talented individual. So next week you want to crank up your music. And the last song in that one, you definitely want to crank it up with a significant other.
That's a good one. We were known to dance a little bit to that one. All right, that's a wrap on tonight's show. One more time, we want to give special thanks to our very inspirational, wonderful guest, Allie McManus. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And all of you out there in podcast land, don't forget, follow us on Spotify. Give our Facebook page a like. It's Vehicle City Sound on Facebook. And if you want to get in touch with us, maybe you got a message for us, a message we can share with our performers, don't hesitate to drop us an email at vehiclecitysound@gmail.com.
That's all for tonight.
That's all for tonight. Be good, everybody.